My name is Carla Oliver, and I'm one of the Focus Missionaries. I'm a second-year Focus Missionary, and I'm just going to open up our night in prayer. So if you all take your last bite of the wonderful queso from Texas that I made you, because I am from Texas, it made me. Just kidding. Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. Jesus, I just ask that you would be with us tonight, that you would grace this room, and that you would free our hearts and our minds, that we may come to know you in a more intimate and deeper way tonight, that we could walk away with something new that you've stirred in our heart. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless all of the students and parishioners currently in this room, that you would just let us walk side by side through this journey together to sanctification and to get to know you, Lord. We ask that you would transform our hearts, transform our minds, and allow us to see Christ in others as they see you and us. Mother Mary, we just ask that you would wrap your mantle around us, that you would protect us, and that you would give us wisdom and fortitude to make it through this year. And we ask for your intercession as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Okay, awesome. So, I'll just quickly introduce the rest of the team. You might have already met them, but just to recap, the tall one over there in the green is Scott. He is originally from West Virginia. His family lives in North Carolina, and he went to South Dakota State University. And he's a first-year missionary. And then Cody, who will be speaking in probably approximately 15 minutes, is from Nebraska and went to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. He's also a first-year missionary. And so we're all very excited to be here. My name is Sarah Jane. I'm the team director here. And this is my third year being a missionary. I've loved almost every minute of it. No, I've loved every minute of it. And I went to Mount St. Mary's University. And so tonight, just to give you a little overview, myself and Cody are going to be giving our testimonies. Any of you who don't know what a testimony is, it's just our our walk, our journey through our faith in the last however many years. We'll start off telling our life story through the faith. And it will lead into how we became missionaries. Now it's important to know that your testimony never ends and it's always continual, and how important daily continual conversion is to the faith and with your relationship with Christ. And so even though we will stop once we become missionaries in our story, for me, I've been a missionary for 3 years, so there's been a lot that's happened in my life the next 3 years, and I'd love to talk more in depth about that later on, but just tonight we're going to kind of get into how we became missionaries. Next week, we would love all you guys to come back as well. And the rest of the team is going to give it. So Carla and Scott are going to be giving their testimonies next week. And then just also to a little overview of what the semester will look like. We're going to have this every Monday night unless school is not in session. For instance, Labor Day. We won't have it Labor Day on Monday. But it will be between 45 minutes and an hour. We'll never go past an hour. And we'll always respect your time. So we will promptly end at 8:30, even if we're in the middle or something. And we're going to be going through just some of the things we do in Focus. How we pray. Ignatian meditation. Lectio Divina, different types of prayer. We're going to be talking about how do we reach out to people. If you guys want to reach out to your students, how do you do that? How do we lead Bible studies? All these different cool things, hopefully you think they're cool, that we do. So, so I'll start off with my testimony. I grew up in a lukewarm Catholic family. I have two brothers on the middle of two boys. I like to call the diamond in the rough, right? And so it's actually kind of the opposite, but it's great. I grew up in a lukewarm Catholic family. We went to Mass every Sunday, and faith was somewhat of a conversation. We prayed before meals, but that was about it. I didn't know that your faith was a relationship with Christ. I just knew that it was something that you kind of did, and your family was either Catholic or not, and I didn't know anything else. And so as I grew up, I was very good at sports. I took up sports at a very young age. My dad definitely got my way with me, and I was the ball player of the family. And so as I grew up, I started getting on more and more travel teams, softball, basketball, field hockey. And as if you know anything about travel teams, you play on the weekends. And so my family would travel with me, and we started skipping Mass on Sundays because there was a more important game going on, or we'd be in the championship, and we'd just miss Mass, right? And so as that led into high school, by the time I got to high school, my family, even though we would still pray before meals
and there was somewhat of an open conversation. We didn't go to Mass on Sunday at all, ever. Until about sophomore year in high school, two of my grandparents got sick with cancer. And at that time period, they lived in Long Island, we lived in New Jersey, and it kind of started to tear my family apart. My mom would go and take care of them during the day. Me and my brothers would go out after school to kind of watch in, to see our grandparents, to see the rest of our family. And my dad would go, like, over the night to kind of be their caretaker over the night. And so as my family is physically growing apart every single day, those two grandparents, my mom's dad, my dad's mom, were the most faithful people I've ever met in my entire life. They went to daily mass. I never knew what daily mass was, right? And so we started going to daily mass because they wanted to go, so someone had to drive them. And most days when we were out there in the morning, or on the weekends and stuff like that. And so my family was growing closer and closer in their relationship with Christ, and we were spiritually the closest we've ever been to each other. However, long story short, in time, they both had passed away. And at that time, my entire family kind of turned their back on God. They were very mad at God. Like, how could God take away two of my family members, right? Even myself, I was very mad. Like, how could I, like, how, God, like, how could you do that, right? And so, but by the grace of God, my older brother went to Mount St. Mary's University. I'm very lazy, and I copied all of his application stuff, and I decided to go to Mount St. Mary's University as well. I had been getting recruited for softball there, and upon arrival, I knew that I was on the softball team. And so I decided to go to Mount St. Mary's University. I'm on the softball team. And I had always dreamt of going to a Catholic school. I always begged my parents to go to Catholic school. I always wanted to wear the cool Catholic uniform. I thought it was cool. It might not have been. And so finally I get to go to this Catholic school, right? And so I'm going to go to Mass every Sunday. But that's all I knew of my faith. Like, you go to Mass on Sunday. That was it. I was a good Catholic, right? And so... I show up to college on my first day, and I'd been talking with some of the softball girls, and I'd already planned to go to a party that night, and this means Facebook. And so it was, like, new at the time, right? I'm older. But I get to campus, and my parents are making my bed. I'm like, come on, Mom, Dad, like, leave. Like, let's go. Like, I got things to do. I got places to be. Parents leave, and first night I go out and I go to the party and I'm having a great time, right? And so that's how a lot of my first couple months at college was I would kind of get through school, I would rush out all the good stuff for me and get to the bad stuff for me. Going to parties, hanging with my teammates. We would work out really hard in the weight room and then we would destroy anything we would do good for our bodies at nighttime, right? And so time goes on and it's about October and it's only, you think, 2 months in school. It's not that far, but in college, you guys know, 6 weeks is a very long time. I get cut from the softball team. I'd been getting in a lot of trouble. I was not doing very well on the field as well. There was eight of us that got cut, and there was no coincidence that the eight of us that got cut were the eight that were kind of the troublemakers, right? And so my world came crumbling down, and I lost my identity. My entire life, I had been an athlete. Who was I? And now, at that point in my life, now I'm on a journey to find who I am, right? I'm going to go find out. And so that led into more partying and more kind of doing kind of crazy things that I shouldn't have been getting into. And through partying, I started hanging out with the lacrosse team. And it's kind of a crazy story, but I started hanging out with the lacrosse team. And one crazy night, they're like, you should be our manager. And I was like, sure. So I email the coach and I say, hey, coach, my name's Sarah Jane. I would love to be the manager. And she kind of, I think she must have laughed when she saw this email because it was probably at like 2 o'clock in the morning. She says, come in. And great, I come in. And so I ended up being the manager. And I go to practice 3 days a week. And it was fun. Like, I was part of the team. And that was great. I missed class because we had away games and stuff like that. I got some free gear. And this whole year, my whole freshman year, I was going to Mass on Sundays, but that was it, right? And so my brother, you remember, he went to the same university as I did. He was an RA, and I didn't know that RAs see all the write-up lists. And so my brother sits me down. He invites me to lunch one day. I'm like, this is weird. Why is my brother? We went to Mount St. Mary's, is a small 2,000-person school, okay? So we saw each other every day. But he decides to invite me to lunch, and I sit down to lunch with him, and I say, Doug, what's up? Like, why did you invite me to lunch? He was, he was pretty nice at first, and then he was like, Sarah, what are you doing? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, who are you? And I was like, what? And he was like, where's my sister? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sitting right here. Like, are you not seeing me? And he was like, no, like, who are you? Like, what are you doing? Like, I hear all the stuff you're doing, and I'm seeing you on the write-up list, and you're just getting in a lot of trouble. And I quickly realized, uh-oh, like, he knows. And I was far beyond he knows. He was trying to help me, in a sense. And my brother at that point wasn't really faithful at all. But he said, you're going to go downstairs right now, and you're going to sign up for something in campus ministry. And I was blown away. I was like, no, no way am I doing that. So I walked downstairs, and I did it. And because he was my older brother, and I listened to what he said. And so he walks down there with me. And if you know anything about me, I'm very dyslexic. I'm not a very good reader. So naturally, what did I sign up to do? I signed up to lecture. And so lecturing is reading in Mass, for anyone who doesn't know that. And so my brother kind of found it funny, but it was great. So all that did really was get me to Mass. Besides, I was going to Mass on Sundays. It got me to Mass at Friday at noon every other week. And so that was it. That was the extent of my faith my freshman year, was going to Mass on Sundays and going to Mass on Fridays. So at the end of my freshman year, the coach calls me in, the lacrosse coach, and she says, Sarah Jane, we need you to do us a favor. And I was like, what, like go get the balls or something? She was like, no, we need you to be a goalie. And I was like, what? Yeah, two of our girls are leaving, and we need you to try out to be a goalie. And I was like, okay, I could do that. And she was like, if you're terrible, we won't tell anyone, and we'll stop in 2 weeks. And I was like, okay. And I don't know why they kept me, but they kept me at the end of 2 weeks. And I ended up getting to go to England with the team and play and train, and that was a really good experience. And I come back my sophomore year, and my faith really hadn't changed. And I was living with the party, really, with this girls on my team that were just insanely partiers. We were throwing parties in our room and everything. It was really not a good idea. And week two rolls around of sophomore year, and I walking around campus. I'm a big shot. I'm a sophomore. I'm on the lacrosse team now. And, you know, get my identity back, right? And a Focus missionary comes up to me. And now I have been ducking Focus missionaries for a year and a half, a year and 2 weeks now, okay? And she comes up to me. She kind of like, kind of corners me. And she's like, hey, do you want to go to a women's night tonight? And everything in me was saying no. And I said, yeah, sure. And I just kept on walking. And I was like, I remember just going back to my room, sitting at my desk, putting my hands over my head and being like, what'd you say yes to? My roommates came in, my teammates, they're like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I just said yes to that girl, keeps on asking us to do things. And I was like, and the ghost was just like, you're on your own, we're not going with you. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I gotta go. I gotta keep my word and go. And so I show up to this women's night, show up to the Focus house, and I see a girl with a tennis shirt, a Mount tennis shirt, and I was like, athlete, bam. And I go and sit right next to her. And in that night, I met a lot of awesome people, and on the couch that I was sitting on, too, later on in life, four of us had actually become Focus missionaries, and we're still best friends to this day. But after that night, I decided, these were, like, some really cool people. They're not just, like, freaks who hang out at the Newman Center, right? They're, like, beautiful men and women that I want to hang out with. And so all my preconceptions of people who live the faith were just shattered that night. And you didn't have to be an athlete to be cool or anything like that. And so a lot of the girls that were there, a lot of them freshmen, I'm a sophomore, and they just lived below me. And I started to hang out with them. I started to desire a friendship with them. I was kind of like that creepy older student that like hung out with the freshmen a lot of time. But what they showed me and what they had was they were striving to live virtually, and they were virtuously, and they were striving to, you know, live a life filled with Christ, and that was so attractive to me. And so I started to hang out with them more. I started like following the Mass. I started like just telling my teammates like, I gotta go study, and they're like, at the same time every night at 10 p.m. you have to go study, and I was like, yeah. And so I would like go to Mass and stuff like that. And so sophomore year just rolled around. I got in a Bible study. I started getting mentored by another athlete that was living her faith, and it was a beautiful kind of transition in my life. But there was a lot of hard times that I had to choose between: do I go out to a party and see my teammates, or do I go to Mass, or do I go to kind of hang out with my like these virtue friends full of virtue? And so I kind of had one foot in the world and one foot in the party, right? And so you can't live that life for that long without crashing and burning. And so junior year rolls around, and
I lived with the captain of the lacrosse team, who was really awesome, awesome woman. She taught me what it meant to, like, live order. Like, that life had order, and there's certain things that had to take priority. She didn't have much of a faith, but she taught me that I, you know, had to get my homework done to do well in class. And if I wanted to do well on the field, I had to put the work in. And so, and kind of like that turned into my faith. Like, if I wanted to have a faith, I had to pray, and I had to go to Mass, and I had to do all these things that eventually became things that I desired to do and wanted to do, and what an opportunity to do. So fast forwarding through that year, it was a great year of just striving, a lot of the time, failing at times, but definitely striving. And really, the pivotal point in my entire college career was after my junior year, right before my senior year, I got the chance to go to Uganda, and I got the chance to coach the first national lacrosse team over there with a bunch of professional lacrosse players. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And we're walking to Mass one day, and one of the really awesome lacrosse players kind of turns to me, and she's like, "Hey, I heard that you go to Mass. Like, could you help me out? I haven't been since my first communion." And in that moment, I realized, I was like, my faith is not just me. My faith is meant to be shared. And if my faith is a gift, I have a responsibility to share it. And so I was like, yes, this is awesome. Yeah, I'll show you, like, what to do at Mass and stuff like that. And the rest of that trip was just kind of transformed my life. And I come back to school that year, and I spent 5 years in college, so this is still ISLF, an extra year after this. And so I go back to school. I'm living with the awesome girls that I met that Women's Night my sophomore year. I'm living with them my senior year. You know, we're praying every day. We're going to Mass most days, and, you know, we're just living, striving to live holy lifestyles. But what I didn't realize, and what I came to the conclusion in Uganda, was that Christ gave me this intimate group of my lacrosse team that I was kind of keeping over here, and my faith was over here, right? And so I realized that I need to bring my faith to this friends group too, and kind of like combine the two, right? And so I started inviting Varsity Catholic, which is a division of Focus that reaches out to solely athletes. We finally got Varsity Catholic on Mount St. Mary's campus, and a missionary was there, and she also too. So I kind of come back from Uganda, and she comes in too. The two married and helped me to reach out to my teammates, right? And so I'm in the locker room the first day. I'm like, all right, I'm going to invite people, and five people are going to say yes. And so I get up, and I'm like, hey, guys, anyone want to come to? I think it was like praise and worship, and silence, like crickets. I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be harder than I thought. yeah, it was really hard. Day after day, I invite them to many things. I went to a small Catholic university, so there's things much like here almost every night of the week for being Catholic. And so day after day after day, you know, no one's saying yes, no one's saying yes. And finally, the girl who sat right next to me, Mel Cox, one of my greatest friends, she was like, loud enough for everyone to hear, yeah, I'll go with you today. And like six other girls said yes too. And I was like, yes, this is awesome. And so, and then my Bible study was formed. No, I'm just kidding. So I started living my faith with my teammates now. And what a beautiful year that was. My senior year, kind of being able to share my faith with my teammates, and just realize that faith is a gift and a responsibility to share it. And so, going into my fifth year, I decided to get my master's and stay to play lacrosse. Lacrosse is a real reason I stayed. Master's was just like a plus. And I'm not a very academic person, so that's why it was a plus. And so I stayed in my fifth year. I'm living with the Focus Missionaries. For some reason, they let me live with them, and it was really great. And I'm living with them, and I'm trying to live the way they live. If I was, you know, we were praying every day, and we're going to Mass and stuff like that. And they started to say, hey, you should be a missionary. And I was like, no way. You guys are freaks. I'm not doing it. I see the way you guys get rejected. I'm too cool for that. And so then I was like, I'm going to go do a broad mission, because that's where the real poverty is. And so as time goes on, about 2 months go on, and they're like, no, really, like, you should really try and apply. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And so I'm starting to apply to, like, the Salesians or Franciscans, great organizations. They're beautiful. And it was just in the time God started to change my heart of what a real poverty on college campuses, how much spiritual poverty really impacts the human body and the world around us. And so one night,
we're all sitting on the couch, and they're like, "You're applying right now." And I was like, "Nope, not doing it." And they like got up the computer, and they're like, "Here." And I was like, "Fine, if you guys are here, I'll do it." And so I filled out the application. I ended up going to interview weekend, and I loved it. It was awesome. I mean, the missionaries are really great. And about 2 weeks later, they call you very quickly. So it's not like it was like a special case or anything. They call you pretty quickly afterwards to let you know whether they would like you to be a missionary or not. And so then you have about 2 weeks to say yes or no. And so 2 weeks go by after they had called me and said yes. And I was like, I'm still not sure, right? So I'm like, I call them and I'm like, "Can I have another 2 weeks?" "Yeah, you can have another 2 weeks." "Okay, great." I'm praying about it. I'm just kind of going crazy about this. All I'm thinking about, what should I do? And I call them up and "Can I have another 2 weeks?" And like over like 6 weeks goes by. And I finally made the decision to say yes. And it was kind of like Christ opened the door for me and say, like, "I just needed you to say yes." And it was such an immense peace over me and just saying, like, "Okay, yeah, this is what you're going to do. And I've clearly called you to this. And for the next 2, 3, 4, however many years, you're gonna work for the church and you're going to work with college students." And I was, what a joy that was. And I finished out my master's, and really God blessed me with a phenomenal end of my lacrosse career. And just a really beautiful faith community within my team that was formed after kind of like they like trusted me more. And they're like, "Wow, you're gonna be a missionary. All right, cool. We'll go into Bible study more." And it was just really beautiful. And then I got to training my first year, and that's when I got placed at George Washington University. And I was there for the last 2 years. And now I'm more than overjoyed to be here for this year. And I thank you for allowing me to share my testimony. And now I'm going to bring Cody up here, and he's going to also share his testimony. So thank you.
Good evening, everyone. All right, so I want to start with a little story, but before that, I'll just tell you guys some facts about myself. I'm from Nebraska, just graduated at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. I am pretty darn good at bird calls, if you ever hear any. And I'm from a town of about 1,600 people, so pretty tiny, out of graduating class of 28. And I remember back in the day when I was in kindergarten, every day my friend and I would walk across the church parking lot to go to kindergarten. And quite habitually, my friend would actually stop and relieve himself on one of the church trees. And this was a while ago, so I can't remember if I ever did that myself. But looking at it sort of retrospectively, it's interesting because I can see that in a way, I did sort of pee on the church trees, because I walked by that church every single day without ever realizing what was inside of it, the beauty that was inside of it, which was definitely a theme of my childhood. So I was raised in a family with a non-Catholic father who probably goes to church maybe once a year, and my mom going to Sunday Mass was never really the biggest thing for her. And so her getting my four brothers and sisters to Mass was never the highest priority. And so a lot of times we wouldn't go. We'd get there, be all stressed out, be 5 minutes late, and we'd just pack up and leave. And that was sort of the faith background I grew up in, whereas there was never a crucifix in my home, there was never a Bible in my home. And so somewhere along the lines, I realized that if I was going to get to church on my own, it was something that it was really going to take some compulsion from God to get me there. And luckily that compulsion came in the way of pancakes. So my great grandfather, he actually worked at the VFW club. So one of the things he would do every single Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Mass is afterwards he would take whatever grandkid went with him to get pancakes. And so the first time I started going to Mass, it was actually for those pancakes, and it was a lovely thing. So sort of keep up that routine for a while. And then about the time I'm in 8th or 9th grade, I really realize that maybe this faith is important. Maybe I should be going to Mass every Sunday. And so I definitely took, for whatever reason, I took the impetus myself to get myself to Sunday Mass. I realized that if I don't decide to do this and if I don't work to do it, it won't happen and my faith is going to slip away. And so I started walking to Sunday Mass every day by myself around the time I was in 8th grade. When I got old enough, the next year or two, I started stealing my mom's minivan and going to Mass by myself, which was awesome. And it wasn't until a freshman retreat, confirmation retreat though, that I really ever discovered that Jesus, the person, loved me. So I went to this retreat, and we had this crazy 80-year-old Monsignor, and he told us we were going to do this thing called adoration. At the time, I really had no clue what it was, So everyone said it was going to be about 15 minutes kneeling down in the chapel. And it ended up actually being an hour. So I spent an hour on my knees looking at this little piece of bread and this metal monstrance. And at the time, I didn't really know what was happening. But it was really beautiful. There were painted banners for the retreat. I remember looking up at the wall, and I found one banner that had a picture of Jesus hugging one of his children in a field of wheat. And I just remember thinking, that's something I really, really, really want. Like, that's the peace I long for in life. But it wasn't for years that I ever realized the correlation between the monstrance on the altar and that banner, that hug from Jesus. And so it was really beautiful. A few years later, I actually got to go back on the same retreat as a junior counselor. And naturally, after 4 days of that, I left. I said, okay, I'm going to the seminary, God. Then I actually saw my first pretty girl, and I'm like, okay, no seminary. And it was really interesting to see how that transition worked, going from, okay, I'm going to go to the seminary, to, you know what, God, I think maybe not seminary, but I'm going to go to a really nice Catholic school, and I'm really going to give myself over to you to study in that way. And then fourth quarter of senior year hit, and I'm like, yeah, I'll just sort of go to the state school. So I went to Lincoln, Nebraska, which is, I would say for all intents and purposes, the equivalence of WVU, large public secular state school, about 25,000 students. And so for me, it was really interesting that going into this huge university, I really thought I was defaulting to something, that I was leaving my faith at the wayside. I was actually, the first class I ever entered into was 200. And like I said, my entire graduating class was 28. The university itself was about 15 times larger than my hometown. And so I really found myself lost, searching for a lot of things. And for a while there, faith wasn't one of them. So by the time I finally got to college, I had sort of entered into the party scene for the first time, going out on weekends and doing some of the things I knew deep down I should not have been doing. Doing that. And for much of college, I would say that was sort of the themes, is trying to find my identity, whether it was in romantic relationships, in going out and partying, and really just searching for joy, I think, is what it ultimately came down to. And it wasn't until somewhere along the line, I was actually invited into a focused Bible study my first week of school. And so for a while, I was sort of living this double lifestyle, one foot in the door, one foot out the door. And eventually, though, I just realized that some of the friendships I had where I was going out and partying with people, they weren't genuine friendships. Those were people who weren't interested in me in a person. They were interested in the things we were doing. And so through the focused Bible study and really getting to know God's Word more, and through something as simple as one of my older friends who actually ended up becoming a focused missionary, through something as simple as her inviting me once every week to a Thursday night event, very similar to Mount Airy Catholic Night, I really started finding that community in God. And honestly, that's what it took for me at first to really discover God in a deeper way in the sacraments, is I went to those Thursday night masses, some of the first daily masses I'd ever gone to. And through that, like SJ said, you go to one daily mass a week and you just fall in love with it. And so pretty soon I was going 2, 3, 4 times a week and really starting to hand my life over to God in that way. It was a beautiful thing when I was a freshman, actually. I remember one night, it was about 11 o'clock, just feeling sort of down in the dumps. I'm like, hey, I can go to the chapel. And so I expected to be the only one there, but I forgot that they had 10 p.m. mass there. So I walked into a crowd of people, sort of weaseled through the crowd, getting out. And I just remember looking up at the front of the altar, and there was two people in the church praying. It was a guy who was also a focused missionary now, definitely someone I looked up to. And then it was the priest. And I remember thinking, God, I want to be like those two Bens someday. It was Ben Crandon and Ben Holdren, if you guys are interested. But I'm sure you are. But through that, I really just came to the faith in a deeper way, where I started experiencing the sacraments on a more frequent level and really started giving myself over to that Newman Center community and serving in great ways, whether that was eventually planning some of those Thursday night events that drew me in as a freshman, whether it was attending a focused Bible study or later leading a focused Bible study, leading retreats, you name it, and really giving everything to God in that way. But it's interesting that all this while I still had my slip-ups, I was still doing some of the things, falling back into some of the same sins. And so you get it around to senior year, there's something you guys should know about me. It's actually that I was kind of a nerd in college. I still am kind of a nerd with these glasses. But I remember freshman year of college, I went in telling myself, okay, I was valedictorian in high school of my whopping 28-person class, 4.0, so I'm going to do the same thing in college. And so for 4 years of college, even after I stopped searching for my identity in something like parties, I was still searching for my identity in worldly success. I told myself, I'm going to get this 4.0 in college. I remember at the end of freshman year, I went to an honors award ceremony. I saw this row of seniors up there about ready to receive their awards for 4.0s. And I said, okay, God, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Maybe not okay, God, but okay, Cody, that's what I'm going to do. And so that's something I really worked pretty hard at for 4 years. And I definitely shut out a lot of people in my life to do it. Looking back, there was a lot of time with my friends that I spent, a lot of times with my friends that I could have had that I spent in my dorm room studying. There was actually one spring break. I went back for an entire week, and I sat at the table and did homework, didn't even talk to my family at all. And so really just pulling me away from not only my family and my friends, but also God. There'd be times where on a night I was full well planning to go to daily mass, I would put that to the wayside. There'd be times where I would tell someone I was working with, my focus Bible study leader, that I didn't have time to pray for 10 minutes a day. And looking back, it's all sort of petty. But so I got to the fourth quarter of my senior year, college, and I finally received the email that I'd been waiting for 4 years, and it was that I'd been invited to this award ceremony. So I was like, all right, sweet. I'm going to give a talk. I'm going to be a big shot. I think out of a 2,000-person graduating class, there were about 25 people who made it all the way through and did that. So I said, okay, I'm pretty high and mighty. And then when I finally decided to go in and RSVP, I was for some reason struck with this realization that, oh, that same day there's actually the dedication mass for the brand new Newman Center at UNL. And this was something that I'd poured my heart and soul into for 2 or 3 years, whether it was leading some of those retreats or going to Bible study and really making the best friends I've ever had in my life at that building. And so it kind of stunk. I had to call my mom up and tell her, okay, I can't go to that award ceremony that she probably also had been looking forward to for 3 or 4 years. And it was just funny because I knew right away what I had to do. And it was something where I placed so much emphasis for so long in things like schoolwork and things like superficial earthly things. But I knew that as many times in my life as I told God no, I said, no, God, I'm not going to the seminary. No, God, I'm not going to join that prayer team. No, God, I'm not going to be a lecturer at Mass. As many times as I said no to God, I knew that I finally had a real opportunity to say yes to Him and to capitalize on something I've been working for a few years and really giving back to the church. And so I ended up going to this dedication Mass, and it was honestly probably the most beautiful Mass I've ever been to. There was a procession of about 30 priests from the diocese and 3 bishops. And it's funny to see how God blessed my decision to skip the other event, because I was actually able to lead this procession in with a crucifix. I remember there were photographers, and a part of me wanted to be pretty prideful and say, oh, I'm going to be on camera, I'm going to be on the newspaper. But I sort of just took the cross and covered up my face with it, and the only verse that would go through my head was Galatians 2:2, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In this life I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so it was really beautiful for the first time in a long time to give God this huge yes. And it was then I sort of knew that if this faith was something I was going to take seriously, I was going to really sell out. God, Jesus says He doesn't want us doing anything lukewarm. He wants us going all or nothing. And so I decided to give 2 years of my life away to become a focused missionary. And what that means is some pretty crazy things. You basically sign up, and they place you anywhere in the world. I was fortunate enough to get the best campus in the country, so thank you for that. But yeah, it's been a crazy journey, and like SJ said, it's just going to keep going on from here. And so I would definitely encourage you guys, wherever you are, maybe you're stepping into the door, maybe you've walked through the door, but I'd really encourage you just to give God everything you have. I know there's going to be times you're going to say, I have to be studying, or I have to be doing this, but really think about where your priorities lie, and because I can promise you God will do incredible things for you. So thank you so much for having me, and I'm going to turn it back over to SJ.
So we just wanted to open it up for anyone that has any questions for Cody and I, or if you have questions for Carla and Scott. But yeah, so does anyone have any questions or comments or anything? Go ahead.
So, Cody, what's your relationship with your parents now? Do they go Mass now, or how does that go?
It's been very interesting. I know I actually called my mom up and told her I was going to become a missionary, which means that, if you guys don't know, we actually fundraise our salaries. We do some pretty crazy things. And my mom's like, why are you doing that? But it's interesting that my dad, probably the least religious of the two, he actually said to me, he said, go ahead and follow your heart, really, which was definitely great for me at a time of a lot of conflict where I was sort of knew I was going to be going up against my family with this. But they've been very supportive of it since. They have helped me a lot with my fundraising. They actually helped me move down here. So I continue to pray for them and hope that they'll have a deeper conversion to the faith. That's about all I can do right now.
Any more questions?
Nicole?
Me?
What's your question?
I don't have a question. Actually, yeah, I do. Are you the eldest of your siblings?
Me? I actually have two older siblings and two younger siblings.
How do you handle that? Like, are they as committed as you are?
There's definitely never anyone growing up who's been a faith role model for me as far as brothers and sisters go. I know I'm actually the godfather to my little sister who's 6 years old and the confirmation sponsoree to my little brother who's going to be a freshman this year in Nebraska. And so it's great that I know, even though I might not have received that from my brothers and sisters, I hope to be able to pass that on. But it's also interesting, my sister texted me the other day, and I think there's a lot of good in her seeing me doing this position is doing for her own faith life too, so it's pretty cool.
I have a question for you. How did the relationship with your teammates keep it as far as community was concerned once they got more into the faith with you?
Yeah, when I showed up to the Mount, the lacrosse team was known as, like, kind of the crazy team. There's a lot of bad things going on. It was very much a part of my freshman, sophomore year. But something about the Mount that you might not know about is that there's a seminary attached to it, and every athletic team has a seminary assigned to them. And so we had Ben at the time. He is now Father Ben. Ben got the brunt of it. We would have dinner with him, and some of these girls would ask some very odd questions. And like, I would be embarrassed to be at the table, let alone him. And so that's like kind of like what I like entered into. And then as I grew in my faith, a lot of my teammates just kind of like, that's Sarah Jane's, that's SJ's thing. We're gonna kind of like let her do her thing. She's kind of going through something right now. I don't know what it is. There was one girl one night kind of pulled me aside and was like, hey, like, I know what you're doing. I really respect it. Like, I don't really want to do it for myself right now, but, like, keep on doing it. Like, I can see something's happening. And I was like, okay, interesting. And then as time went on and they started to say yes to things, things just kind of transformed to the point of right now, there's two of us who were on that athletic team that are now missionaries. And the Bible study, we went from my freshman year, me being the only one to go to night prayer with the seminarian, to the entire 100% of the team goes to night prayer every week, once a week. And so it's been quite a transformation. Of course, there's still partying that goes on the team, and it's definitely not a perfect team, but quite the transformation. And also to coaching staff. Once the coaching staff kind of, I remember I had four coaches in 5 years, and the last coach I had for my last 2 years, I kind of walked in when I first met her, and I was like, I'm a senior, and I was like, I'm just going to tell her how it is. And I was like, I just told her that this is how I want to see the team, and it's going to change. And she kind of was like scared, and I was like, I probably shouldn't approach it in that way. But by the time I left my fifth year, she was kind of just like, wow, like, if we have more girls that are willing to kind of step outside themselves and see the greater good for the team, she even just grew in her faith as well. It transformed the team, not just through me, but through some other girls. And I like to say that, you know, God might not have a plan. He might need to get you to get five others, but that's kind of how it was in my case. So, and now Haley, she's a first-year missionary, and she's going to do great things. Yeah. So.
Cool.
Any other questions or comments? Cool. All right, awesome. Well, once again, we just want to thank you. Scott's going to come up here and close us in prayer, as promised, under an hour. But, yeah, so next week, Carla and Scott are going to be giving their testimonies, very similar to this week. These will probably it'll be, once again, about 45 minutes, and there'll be snacks every week, so something to look forward to. Won't be from Texas next week because Cody and I are in charge of it. Maybe something from Nebraska or something like that. But anyway, we thank you for coming out, and really just come talk to any of us. If you have any questions that you don't want to ask now, you want to ask later. We're pretty open books, and we love talking about our testimonies. We love talking about our faith, and we love sharing our faith with each other and with anyone who's willing to be open and say yes. So thank you. And Scott's going to close us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for bringing us all here together today as your sons and your daughters to open our hearts so that we may see each other in a new light, not in turn nobody away, but more so to open you into our hearts, to allow you to come in, to teach us how to be better brothers and sisters, to set each other before ourselves. Lord, I praise your holy name, and we praise your holy name. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day, especially the things that we don't see. I ask that we pray that you watch over us and guide us in everything that we do here, tomorrow, and the next day. As we pray, the glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end.